here with this week's hottest stories in the investment world. This is Zach's Friday Finish Line.
Hello, and welcome to the Zach's Friday Finish Line. I'm Ryan McQueenie, a content writer here at Zach's, along with one of our editors, Maddie Johnson.
Hello, today is Friday, May 19th, and we're here to recap this week's biggest stories in the investment and financial world. But first, Ryan, you were at a conference this week here in Chicago that sounded like it was just a hub of investor knowledge and information. So you want to kind of give us a rundown of that?
Yeah, so it was called Med City Invest. It was hosted by the good people over at Med City News. It was a healthcare investing and entrepreneurial conference. It was really awesome from my perspective to just get a sense of kind of the macro trends in biotech, medical devices, digital health. There was a lot of startups from around the country kind of pitching their own new ideas. A lot of cool new concepts. One of the things that stuck with me is that everybody seemed to have this acceptance that we're not trying to, the healthcare industry isn't trying to answer any new questions right now. They're just trying to find better ways of answering the same old questions that they've always been trying to answer. And those questions relate to quality of care and costs and accessibility. So it was awesome. And we're going to get into how kind of it was a wild week in a lot of different areas. But here in Chicago at Med City Invest, there was a lot of optimism and positivity, at least for one industry. So
yeah. So this, as you said, this week continued with seemingly filled with nonstop news regarding the Trump administration and the fallout of the president's decision to fire former FBI Director James Comey. And what's that look?
It's like every day.
Every day something new.
Yeah, every day I
or
wake
also
up.
Every hour something new.
Yeah, it's the first few minutes of my day are getting caught up on whatever happened
breaking
overnight.
News. Yeah, I
and
know.
Then what's coming out? What's the morning leak? And then you get it seems like you get around a lunchtime leak. And then you get one right before you go home, too. And you're just like,
that's true.
Wow,
yeah,
what
something
is going
usually
on?
Breaks right around. Like afternoon commute.
Yeah, it's
definitely. But the market's finally had enough, and we'll certainly dive into that in a little bit. But as well as the latest retail earnings, that's still going on.
Mm-hmm.
And investor reaction to cybersecurity stocks in the wake of a cybersecurity attack last weekend. So Ryan,
yeah, let's start there. Big time attack. On Monday, shares of some of the biggest cybersecurity companies soared in the wake of a massive cyber attack that affected at least 150 countries last weekend. Some of these stocks that were up include FireEye, Palo Alto Networks, Symantec, Barracuda Networks, Fortinet, and Checkpoint Software. Overall, the Peer Funds USE Cybersecurity ETF hit a new 52-week high in the process. This was called, I'm sure you guys have heard of it by now, it was the WannaCry attacks.
WannaCry.
Yeah. I don't know where they got the name.
It's very cool.
I didn't dig deep enough into the story to know what the name came from, but that was what it was. Started last Friday, so this was kind of the feeling the first effects of it on Monday morning. Compromised an estimated 200,000 computers around the world, which doesn't sound like a lot, but the issue is that the malware operates like a worm, so it scans other computers within the same system, and it was taking advantage of this defect in older Microsoft systems present in XP and Windows Server 2003 in particular.
Old.
Yeah, so those are old, but that's kind of the problem is that the older, it had an ability, it impacted older systems, and if you're a business still using that system kind of office-wide or business-wide, it probably means that you are spending less money on your tech department, perhaps don't really even have a tech department, don't have like strong tech support. Which means you're going to be affected by it even more. So Microsoft actually with XP and Server 2003 has discontinued support for these outdated programs, which is kind of another issue. The company did say it was working on special patches to block the attack as early as last weekend. So it was also interesting timing because the attack commenced just one day after the Trump administration announced a new executive order aimed at beefing up the nation's cybersecurity, trying to protect government and whatnot, government and bureaucratic files. The order was short on actionable details, but it did push for new deadlines for recommendations from experts. So as a plan about putting together a plan, basically.
Was it a one-page plan?
I think it was, I don't know, I didn't see the actual signing of it, which are always a big to-do. It was actually quite similar to what the Obama administration kind of had put in place, their own personal guidelines, which was kind of gathering these recommendations from experts. And while there isn't anything set in stone yet, it's all rooted in trying to push everything essential into the cloud.
Gotcha.
So,
and this feels soon after that weird Google phishing story that happened like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that wasn't too long
ago
either.
With Gmail. Anyways.
And these cybersecurity stocks, just in case you don't pay attention to this space at all, these cybersecurity stocks tend to move higher in the wake of these massive attacks for a couple reasons. Public perception, people just assume that they'll get a boost in business, and legitimately they tend to actually do get a legitimate boost in business because companies will have a, oh yeah, moment.
We should
work with one of these firms. So that tends to happen.
Yeah. But going back to Trump, so U.S. markets took a hit on Wednesday amid new concerns regarding the president and his administration. And it all began with a New York Times report that claimed that former FBI Director James Comey compiled a memo and outlined conversations he had with Trump alleging that the president requested that Comey and the FBI stop their investigation into former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. And on top of the Comey news, Trump shared potentially compromising intelligence with Russian officials last week in a meeting in the Oval Office. So this affected the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, and the Dow, and the three major indexes all dipped on the news. Big bank stocks fell on fears that Trump's pro-business tax reform agenda could collapse as well. Trump's plan to cut banking regulations, many of which were put in place after the 2008 financial crisis, fall into the same reform basket. So banks like Bank of America, Citigroup, JPMorgan Chase, and Wells Fargo were all down, as well as financial giants like Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley. Even shares of industrial giants tumbled. And this was kind of due to Trump's infrastructure plans. So Caterpillar, General Electric, United Rentals, and Fastenal Company, fingers crossed I pronounced that right, all closed the day in the red, in addition to some of the biggest construction and infrastructure ETFs, like the iShares US Home Construction ETF. So these market indicators could signal that investors are now indeed worried that Trump and his administration's pro-growth initiatives might begin to fall apart. And that might be putting it lightly, but at this point, again, kind of like you and I said before, things happen. We get news, breaking news, almost every hour of every day. So things are still unclear with all of this. And the president's economic agenda of corporate tax cuts, infrastructure spending, and banking regulation reforms have sent the market on a historic run since Trump took office last November. So this hit on Wednesday was pretty big. It was just like, oh, the market's kind of finally caught up with all the news.
It's going to be interesting to see watch play out. People have started saying the I word, the impeachment word. has been big this week. Interestingly enough, though, it's the chain of succession is pretty Republican and conservative.
Oh, yeah.
As far as you go down. So in my opinion, while this type of drama or an full-blown impeachment process certainly would delay these reforms that you just mentioned. President Pence would seemingly have the same type of agenda. Mm-hmm. Certainly, President Paul Ryan, if Pence were also to be removed from office, would have a similar conservative agenda that would include tax reform and deregulation. So people getting nervous maybe about the timeline more so than just the plausibility that it'll happen. Obviously, right. It's not going to be a hugely great. It's not going to be huge for the Republican Party in 2018 if this does go further than where we're at now, which it seems like it's a train that has a ton of momentum and isn't going to stop.
Yeah,
there's a special prosecutor assigned to the
Mueller.
Or special counsel assigned by the Justice Department.
Yes.
Over the week. That's certainly not something to take lightly. So interesting.
Yeah. To see. And Trump is on his trip abroad.
Mm-hmm.
Probably for the next week or 10 days.
Uh-huh.
So that'll definitely be dominating the news cycle for sure.
Yeah, I wonder what those meetings are going to be like. What the atmosphere in the room is.
Well, hopefully doesn't spill any more compromising intelligence.
My favorite of all of the leaks are the leaks where we get to hear what it's like behind closed doors within the administration and in after a press conference or whatever, when everyone's just really pissed off. I love hearing people are throwing things around. I saw one earlier this week that a press official turned up the TV in the press waiting room because you could hear cabinet members screaming at each other through the wall. So I'm fascinated by all that stuff.
Hashtag drama.
Definitely. And so, yeah, interesting to watch the market. I mean, it's been just an incredible bull market that.
And we're still in a bull market.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It just seems like it takes a lot these days to have such it was the worst day since October, September.
Yeah, and, right before the election.
And so it takes a lot for investors to react like that these days. And mm-hmm. Interesting. But okay, we still have earnings.
Okay, earnings. Yeah, we're still in Q1 earnings season. It's finally winding down, but some big names in retail reported their quarterly earnings this week. And this season, earnings growth reached some of the highest levels investors have seen in 5 years. So incredible growth during this Q1.
Yeah, it's almost like the bull market is really about the fact that the economy is overall really healthy.
Yeah.
And not that who the president is. I don't know. Some people have said.
But big names in retail reported this week, and we're finally out. So the big apparel names have already reported and kind of have already disappointed, but some of the big box stores and Home Depot reported and crushed it naturally.
Yep.
So Home Depot's relentless focus on affording innovative products, boosting interconnected customer experience, and driving productivity seems to be paying off.
Definitely.
They reported better than expected earnings of $1.67 per share, retaining the 4-year-long trend of beating earnings estimates, and further, sales of $23.887 billion topped estimates and grew year over year. Gross profit in the reported quarter improved 4.7% to $8.154 billion and contracted 10 basis points to 34.1%. Home Depot's improved gross profit led operating income to increase 8.8% to $3.349 billion.
I think something you also have to say with Home Depot is that while it's potentially a good sign or kind of one of the lone patches of good in what was a rough earnings season for brick and mortar retail, which I think is now
it's just the normal.
Yeah. Home Depot also is going to be, their results are going to be influenced by kind of the health of the housing market.
Definitely.
And the health of the overall economy. People tend to, as soon as they have money to spend, they like to fix up their house.
Sure. And we're heading into Home Depot's like prime season right now. Gardening, spring fixer-upper season is full-blown right now.
So I would think next earnings report probably an even better indicator of how well the company is doing.
Agreed.
And how well the economy is doing. It's interesting that one type of company like that can give you an overall feel for a few different things throughout the economy, the housing market, just the overall, how much money people are spending on things like that.
And especially how it's interesting how Home Depot has kind of pulled away from its rivals as that one indicator. Because Lowe's is another home improvement giant.
Yeah, well, I think the issue with Lowe's is that they don't have hot dog stands in their parking lots.
That's true. Home Depot really, you know, they won with that
Home Depot decision. Hot dog. So Target, we also had Target this week, and you had mentioned the big box stores. Target reported adjusted earnings of $1.21 per share, comfortably surpassing the Zacks consensus estimate of 89 cents. Net revenues came in at $16.02 billion, which also beat our consensus estimate. However, it was down about 1.1% year over year. Same store sales down about 1.3%, but a much narrower decline than 3.7% analysts were forecasting. This was attributed to a decline in customer visits and shoppers picking up fewer items on average. Target continues to expand its online presence, which is, I think, who we'll be talking about e-commerce with the next report as well. Q1 was no exception, though, for Target. The comparable digital channel sales grew 22% and contributed 0.8 percentage points to overall same-store sales growth. So,
investors love Target's report.
It went over well, even though still sales down overall.
Yeah, and Target CEO in the conference call with analyst investors, he, like, the first thing that he said was, like, this is not where we want to be. This is not where we need to be. We can do better.
Mm-hmm.
So, but, I mean, this is much better than they have done in past quarters.
Yeah, I was just going to say, interesting that if we recall the last time we talked about Target earnings, this kind of idea that comps were being affected by shoppers picking up fewer items on average, this quarter was attributed to that and the decline in visits. So it's interesting because the rhetoric often with retail is, oh, well, why do people go into the stores? Why would you ever want to go into the stores in the first place when you can just get everything on Amazon? But really, that key is, okay, what if we have the same, what if our traffic is fine? We're getting the same, similar at least, number of people in. They're just spending less in the store. So it's not, I think what this earnings season overall has showed us is that people still go to stores for some things, or people still find themselves in stores for whatever reason. And it's just a matter of how much are they spending and how much are you, like, what kind of value are you providing?
Right. Target should have no problem with people spending too much money in their stores.
Mm-hmm.
I spend too much money in Target every time I go to a Target.
Mm-hmm.
I go in there for toothpaste and I walk out with $200 worth of home decor, just random stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like, it's ridiculous.
That's the interesting thing about the big box retailer thing, sector, space, industry, sector within a sector, whatever you want to call it. These stores have an advantage where if you want to get toothpaste, you have to literally walk past so many other
awesome things. and with especially with the huge Targets in Chicago, Target can create these living spaces where they can show off their couches. They can, like, recreate living rooms and really, like, show off, here's what this couch looks like, all decorated and cute, and with, like, with that basket that you saw online, and with these pillows, like, decorated just this way, where you're like, you know what, that would look great in my room.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it, you know, just one more thing about Target, they're expanding those small format stores, which have been a huge growth driver for them, and they're also creating more of these, like, in-house brands that have been big successes for them as well. So hopefully that will boost sales.
Yeah, and almost kind of like
revenues in the long term.
On the, I guess, kind of opposite end of the spectrum of what we were just speculating about, the smaller stores being a growth driver kind of implies that people might enjoy it more when they don't have to navigate through a massive place.
Right.
Or, you know, they know that they can walk in, go straight to what they want, walk out. So, yeah, interesting. All, I think, part of a modernization effort.
Definitely.
That is also reflected in the increased online sales. So.
So moving on to Walmart. And Walmart, still America's largest brick-and-mortar store.
Mm-hmm.
But they reported better-than-expected earnings of $1 per share, which beat the Zacks estimate of 96 cents. And total revenues came in at $117.5 billion, falling just short of our consensus estimate, but increasing 1.4% year-over-year. So U.S. same-store sales rose 1.4%, beating analyst estimates and marking the 11th consecutive period of positive sales in Walmart's home market. Operating income declined 0.7% to $5.24 billion, but this was due to Walmart's continued investments in e-commerce initiative as it takes on Amazon. So Walmart noted that its e-commerce business saw gross merchandise volume soar 69%. Insane. A sign that last year's $3.3 billion acquisition of Jet.com may finally be paying off. And yes, Walmart owns Jet.com, which is like that smaller version of Amazon. Walmart also owns Moose Jaw, ModCloth, ShoeBuy, and potentially Bonobos, which is that really upscale men's retailer. And Walmart now boasts 50 million items on its website, up from 35 million in the last quarter.
Yes, so...
So Walmart's crushing it right now.
Yeah, the great quarter from Walmart. I wanted to highlight, too, speaking of kind of the Walmart owns certain brands, they have a partnership with JD.com, China's second largest e-commerce company behind Alibaba. It was announced last June. It was basically a JD took over Walmart's e-commerce business in China.
Okay.
On the earnings call, Walmart's CEO announced that in 80 stores in China, Walmart's been operating brick-and-mortar stores in China since the mid-90s. In 80 stores in China now, through their partnership with JD, they're offering one-hour delivery service. This was a cut in half from a two-hour delivery service that they had announced late last year. Just interesting because, obviously, you know, we're talking about them trying to catch up to Amazon. They never will catch up to Amazon in e-commerce. It's about surviving.
Sure.
It's do or die. But in China, at least, they seem to have the significant advantage over Amazon. Amazon Prime was only launched in China in like October 2016. They don't have the same two-day delivery guarantee in China, but you know, in key markets throughout China, you can get things delivered through Walmart and JD in less than an hour. So
that's cool. But yeah, I mean, Walmart's really the only retailer capable of taking on Amazon head on. Because of just their power and their mm-hmm. size.
Basically the only other relevant company as far as American retailers go.
And the thing is, like, when you go into a Walmart, you might not be going, like, into a Walmart for the same things you go into a Target.
Yeah.
But I still go into a Walmart. Well, okay. When I go into a Walmart, it's usually when I'm home at my parents, because that's usually... there's only Walmart's Express in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
So when I go into a Walmart, I'm like, I can get my groceries super cheap and then get a ton of other things for $100.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's not clear I'm going to go in there and get like home decor items. And personally speaking,
fair enough.
For my apartment.
Yeah. I would say
to judge their home decor selection.
I would have to imagine, though, that the things like that in home items.
But they have great prices on home appliances.
Right. And I would have to imagine all of those things are part of this e-commerce boom, because it really seems like part of the e-commerce initiative that Walmart has put together over the last couple of years has been this, okay, we're going to offer a relatively similar platform to what Amazon has, where we have everything. And they have basically everything in their stores too, but we have everything online that you can get in. We have quick, fast delivery. It's guaranteed. Mm-hmm. It's cheap. Regardless of what their stores are doing specifically, like segment wise, like that grocery versus home decor, that to see 69% merchandise volume growth in one quarter, that has to be relatively everything's doing well online for them right now.
Oh, for sure.
Another thing I would say with the e-commerce push Walmart has had is that if you look at the idea of a one-hour delivery service in China, Walmart certainly has the infrastructure here to make something like that happen, a very quick same-day delivery service, which means they can do something that Amazon can't really do right now to an extent. They do it to an extent, but...
You mean like ship from store?
Yeah, and that which allows you to kind of have another level of being able to offer fresh foods, foods so quick that you could at lunch be like, oh, I want this for dinner tonight. And there's a Walmart close enough where a delivery could happen like that. They've also started offering discounts on online orders if you get it sent to the closest store to you.
Oh, like pick up in store?
Yeah. So it is cheaper to do it that way now, which is something Amazon can't really offer just because they don't have the...
They don't have brick and mortar stores.
Yeah, they don't have the property. So as far out ahead as Amazon is in e-commerce, there's some interesting things Walmart can do because of its brick and mortar infrastructure.
Yeah.
So the property is not has now lost its value, that's for sure.
I agreed.
So, good quarter for Walmart. Some good signs in certain corners of the retail market.
Yeah, and we still have, Ulta still has yet to report. Costco, another big box giant, still has yet to report. Other than that, retail...
Wrapping up. Basically done with earnings season.
Seems
like it's been going on for a while, as it always does. But, okay, I think that just about does it for us this week. I guess can't wait to see what we get over the weekend as far as the latest in what's going on in Washington.
Yes.
Anyway, if you think we missed anything or if you want us to cover another story, remember that you can always reach out, talk to us at podcast@zacks.com. You can check out all of our other exclusive audio content at zacks.com/podcasts. Thank you for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, make sure to leave a rating. Leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again, and we will see you next week.